In our scripture reading from 1 John, the author moves toward the big point he wants to make clear, which is there's only one thing you need to believe. Jesus is God's Son, and you can tell that he loves you because he laid down his life for you. Now go show that kind of love to each other. But as we ponder what John means here, we begin to wonder, how exactly are we supposed to lay down our lives for each other? Does he mean we need to die for one another, just as Jesus did? I'd like to suggest that John's point is that we need to be so committed to sharing God's love that we are willing to give our entire being to that purpose. But laying down our lives may mean sacrificing busy schedules that keep us too occupied to notice another's needs. Laying down our lives might mean setting aside our own personal agenda so that we can be a part of someone else's life and invite them to be a part of ours. Laying down our lives could be taking the time to listen to someone who is hurting. Laying down our lives isn't so much about dying for someone else as it is for living for someone else, putting their needs ahead of our own as an act of love. And that kind of act of love is the basis for a little story I'd like to tell you about. And I've entitled this story, A Tale of Three Prayers. It all began about 4 or 5 years ago. My husband, Craig, was diagnosed with advanced kidney disease, a result of diabetes. He was holding his own for a while, but his kidney function was dropping rapidly. About a year ago, his kidney function had dropped to 12%. We were sent to a class on dialysis, and we knew we had this blessed option when the time came. But we also learned that Craig could receive a kidney from a living donor. His age prevented him from being on the national registry list. So I said, I'll give you one of my kidneys, and we thought we had solved the problem. Well, after filling out a bazillion pages of the living donor medical history form, I was turned down very quickly. Then our two sons also found out, for different reasons, they could not donate a kidney. I think at that point we were filled with despair. So my tale of three prayers, the first prayer was from Craig. He didn't want to go the dialysis route, though he did go through the procedure of having a fistula made in his arm to allow for dialysis, just in case. His prayer was one based on a steadfast faith that God would take care of him. He prayed that we would find a living donor. He felt strongly that a solution would be found and shared with me that he felt a sense of peace that all would be well. The second prayer was from me. Now, I have a steadfast faith too, but let me say that while Craig isn't the worrying type, I have raised worry to a fine art form in my life. So my prayer was one of desperation. St. Paul wrote to pray without ceasing, and I followed that advice and then some. I was literally praying for a miracle. I believe so strongly that miracles can happen. I prayed that we would be able to find a living donor. And just like in Craig's prayer, the big question was, where would we find one? One day, a good friend suggested that we add Craig's name to our parish prayer list, explaining that he needed a living kidney donor. And so we did that. And that leads me to the third prayer. Susanna Stevens, who goes by Suki, had joined St. Paul's around 2014. She has sung in our senior choir since then. Now, Suki is a very private person, but has given her wholehearted permission to share her prayer. It was about 8 months ago, and she had lost her job. It had been her dream job, and it had felt like a calling. When her position was cut, she was overwhelmed with grief. In the following months, she grew to feel almost completely useless as she tried to find her next thing. Her prayer during that time was, "Use me, Lord. Please use me. Show me what to do for you, and I will do it." She pulled on so many doors in those months, and most were locked tight and wouldn't budge. As she struggled with unemployment, she was growing increasingly desperate to find her next role. She was trying not to lose it altogether, trying to live faithfully, trying to trust God in his timing. She kept praying, "Use me, Lord. Please use me. Show me what to do for you, and I will do it." Then one Sunday, as she sat in church, a line in the bulletin insert caught her eye. It was a prayer request for someone who needed a living kidney donor. She said, "I can do that, sure." She said it was just automatic. And then to God, she said, "This is something you want me to do, isn't it? At least to ask." Her heart felt no fear, no doubt, only peace. She recognized the last name and introduced herself to me in the narthex after the service. That was in February of 2017. She said to me, "I think I can help you. How can I find out?" I took her to where Craig was standing and introduced her to him. I went back into the vesting room and broke down in tears. Here was someone we didn't know at all, and here she was asking if she might be able to help Craig. Could this possibly be the answer to our prayers? And as she said later to us, it turned out to be the answer to her prayers as well. Suki went through all the rigorous training, etc., at Duke Transplant Hospital and was found to be a prime candidate. What was even more amazing to us is that she turned out to be 95% compatible with Craig. God had brought us the perfect match. In the meantime, Craig had been preparing himself, based on faith, to become stronger physically. He worked out at Rex Wellness Therapy Pool 4 to 5 times a week. He went to Healing Touch twice a month. But the head of the Duke Transplant Program was worried that Craig was too old to go through a transplant surgery. He was on the cusp of not qualifying. But during a weekly meeting, one of the surgeons noted that Craig's heart and lungs were strong. Other than the kidney problem, he was in excellent shape. And again, God's hand was at work. On October 30th, 2017, Suki was taken into the OR first, and one of her kidneys was removed. Shortly afterwards, Craig received her kidney. And again, it was quite amazing to Craig's surgeons that Suki's kidney began to do what a kidney is supposed to do right there on the operating table. He was moved to ICU, which is standard right after surgery. We were told he'd be there a few days and perhaps go home in a week to 10 days. By the next afternoon, Craig was doing so well, he was moved to a regular room. Ironically, the room next to where Suki had been the day before. She had been doing so well, she was discharged the next afternoon after her surgery. And she thinks it's pretty special that her scar is in the shape of a little smile. Craig was discharged 4 days after his surgery since he was doing so well. Duke Transplant, I think, is now rethinking the age limit for kidney transplant patients. God's love knew no bounds when Suki came into our lives. She said, giving the kidney was one of the easiest choices I've ever made. I have been praying for a long time to be made useful. I found a quotation by John Powell, which I think sums up what Suki did for Craig and what 1 John is saying to each and every one of us. You have a unique message to deliver, a unique song to sing, a unique act of love to bestow. This message, this song, and this act of love have been entrusted exclusively to the one and only you. Amen.